Welcome back to the Shallow Dive. It's your host, Megan. I am so excited to be back. I'm flying solo this week, and I wanted to record a podcast because it's been 500 years and we've been in quarantine for 6 months to the day, actually. I looked at the calendar and decided, okay, we're going to get back on here. We're going to have some things to say. And we is me. So I'm jumping on today to, I guess, talk about the only thing I'm qualified to talk about at this present time, which, you know, I took a break because I have nothing valid to add to any conversations that are going on right now. The world's on fire. Our country is actually on fire. And I'm laughing because I am devastated. So I don't know what else to do besides call my therapist and write in my journal. So this is my other outlet. And I just feel like there are so many voices that need to be amplified right now, Black women specifically, and I'm just not in any category that has any meaningful impact anywhere, so I just didn't have a whole lot to say. But things are tough for everyone. I don't think anyone's having a great time, except for the people who are just so blissfully ignorant, and the people at the anti-mask rallies seem like they're having a real great time because they're idiots. So, yeah, we're 6 months in. 6 months ago today, I left my office for the last time, and it was because the news reported that we were 10 days behind Italy as far as the numbers for this pandemic. So I really just could not imagine staying in a really close quarter office with people who I know for a fact were not always the most hygienic. You know, an office place is not the most hygienic place to be ever, especially when something is airborne. So anyway, I know we're all sick of talking about the pandemic, but this is our reality. You know, I know that people say you shouldn't talk about religion or politics, or you shouldn't blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're not having those conversations, I highly suggest you look inside yourself and also look at the people that surround you and have those conversations. I'm not super sure what the sweeping it under the rug people are doing right now, but I guess they are the ones that I mentioned earlier who are at the anti-mask rallies. So anyway, the only thing that I'm qualified to talk about at this point, I feel like, is office life. And so I put together some ideas, and one contributor to this conversation is my friend Lainey. She is also someone who works in an office at a different capacity than I do, whereas she is required to meet with people in person to effectively do her job. So her situation has changed. And keep in mind, guys, when I'm talking about this, I understand that being able to work from home is an extreme privilege. It is something that so many offices could go to, but some haven't previously because we live in this like policing mentality in this country. Like, we worship police, we worship policing. We love to tell someone that the hem on their dress pants is a dress code violation and just nitpick people to death. Like, I have honestly quit jobs because of the petty bullshit that happens in an office. So I'm fortunate enough at this point to work from home. I work in a typical office setting, but at this point, the company I currently work for, which I will never mention, nor will I ever put it on my social media, because that's stupid. The company that I currently work for, let's just say, has taken this very seriously, has went above and beyond for their employees, and has really provided all of their people the safety standards, I guess, the safety precaution stuff. We've all taken it real seriously here. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, just in general terms, because I mean, I'm a grown woman. I should be entitled to have an opinion, but a lot of little people don't think that you should. So let me try to break that down for you. So for instance, at the beginning of this pandemic, I did go home on March 16th from the job that I had at the time, which is not the job that I currently hold, not the same company, nothing like that. And I went home and I was told, hey, go home. You know, you can use your personal time. Sure, that makes sense. Unfortunately, I was constantly asking while I was at home to, you know, work from home. Can you send me home with a laptop? I would be willing to work. I'm able to work.
I'm not sick. I'm not on vacation. I'm home. I'm worried about the state of the world. Because at that time, we knew very little about this virus. We knew very little. So I pled my case over and over, you know, give me something to do, even if it's not in the department that I was in, give me something to do. And unfortunately, at the time, I worked for a company that did not really believe this was a big deal. Some of the very important people in that company were posting pictures from, you know, sitting at their desk with like, oh, this is no worse than the flu. And they were clearly at work taking pictures. So it just put a bad taste in my mouth, honestly. I mean, it was just so scary. You know, I was making pretty much no money, but I was okay with that, I guess. I mean, it was all I could get at the time. And those are things we have to do to put food on the table, right? You know, you can work a job that you're not super passionate about, but you know, it was pretty much normal business hours and there were some perks to it. It wasn't terrible, right? But in sending me home and not giving me a clear plan on whether or not I even had a job or if I was ever going to be able to work from home, I spent a month looking for another job. And in that time, I was able to, luckily, by the grace of I don't know what, to get another position that started at home. You know, I'm a grown-up. You can trust me to do the work that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm available at all times. You know, when you hire adults, you have to trust them. And I think in our country, I don't know about other countries, but in the U.S., we love to police. We love to stand over someone's shoulder. We love to put a dress code in so that in the middle of August, I have to wear a cardigan because I have tattoos on my arms. Now, they're not offensive. They're no naked people. They're no cuss words. But apparently, I can't effectively do my job, you know, in most companies' eyes, if I have purple hair or if I have a piercing or if I have a tattoo. And that goes for everyone. I say I, but, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. So while I talk about this, please remember that I know this is a very privileged stance. I can't imagine being a frontline worker. I can't imagine what you guys go through. So my heart is with you. I wish I could do more for you. Our country has failed us. Like, I get it. It's awful. And I want you to know that I understand that I'm not speaking to everyone. So anyway, as I ramble on, we had some points about why working from home works. I think that some of the biggest thing, let me start with the clicks, the office clicks, right? And these are all generalizations, but I've worked many jobs over the years, many offices. And honestly, as a single mom for years, I had to go where the insurance was and where the pay was. And if it was closer to my kids' school, and people say, wow, you've had a lot of jobs. Yeah, but I've always had a job. And I've always had to move on when there was a better opportunity. It's just, I mean, it's an opportunistic situation out there. If you're scrambling and saving and you have rent to pay, people don't seem to care about that sometimes. So you're not paid a living wage and you're scrambling around and you're expected to do the work of three people. And you can even get awesome reviews at some companies and they'll say, you are in the line for the next available lead position, as if that means anything. But also, you can't have a raise, not even 10 cents this year. And it's like, cool, I guess. I don't know. So obviously, I'm going to go where the opportunity is, and I finally found something that's right for me, and I could not be happier. So, well, that sounds crazy in a pandemic. I feel existential dread every second, but as far as my employment, it's employment in the United States is fucked up, you guys. So I can honestly say I'm very, very lucky to have landed this, but had I not been completely mistreated by the last place that I was working, I never would have had this opportunity. So I'm really thankful that that situation played out as it did, because I have now been able to prove to my new employer that I am an extremely capable worker, that I have integrity and I can maintain confidentiality, but I can also have an opinion. And I think everyone deserves that. I think it's really fucked up when companies are like, you're not allowed to have an opinion. It's like, I didn't even name you. Like, I can tell people that this place is not great. Maybe you guys should step it up and be a great place to work, like for everyone, not just for the top people. So anyway, let's start with office clicks. Let me go back to that because I am rambling. But so there's no room when you work from home. There is no room to be super clicky. And I love that because you don't get to choose who you work with. And in my experience, I have been drawn into more conversations that I don't want to be in. I have read people's body language about how they feel about another coworker that I was just like, God, I don't even want to know what that's about. I think that sometimes people think I'm a friendly face and they want to tell me all about their problem with Amber down the row on your cubicles. And I just personally don't care. I just have no interest. These are just my opinions about it. What's great about my position now is that I started and I barely know my coworkers, but they have all been wonderful because I have been able to maintain a professional relationship with them and speak to them virtually, which has been perfect because I'm not dragged into whatever preconceived situation might happen or might not. And of course, I can't say that because I simply have no idea the dynamic in this office. And it has honestly been perfect for me. And again, not accusing anyone, but I'm saying in the past, you guys all know what it's like to work on a team. And I love working on a team. I love collaborating. I love, you know, seeing a project come together with multiple people. But sometimes you can get in a really toxic work environment and it can honestly sour you to the job. And then you just don't care about your job anymore or you don't want to be there. And then your attitude sucks and people can feel that. And so being at home, as isolating as it may be, you skip all of that. You can focus on your work entirely. You can be available to your employer entirely. You're not worried about so-and-so who's whispering, whatever. So the clicks, you're out. Lainey added, there's no small talk. I don't have to feign interest in your daughter's godmother's hip surgery. I don't have to see pictures of your grandkids that I don't know or care about. You don't have to discuss the weather with people when you're having a typically, like, otherwise not great day, or, you know, you don't have to put on that brave face. There's no discussion of politics, and as heated as things have become in the U.S., that's a perfect situation. I don't need to know if you are a racist. I don't need to know, like, I don't have to know those things about you, and, you know, you should be called out for that shit. You really should, but when you are making money somewhere, and this is your job, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place to, I mean, yes, you can report racists at your job, but you don't know how they're going to turn out because the people you reported to might be a racist. Several years ago, I reported a guy who said some of the most heinous shit about Mexican people just out loud at work. He was next to me every day and he was saying awful things and I reported him. And they told him I reported him. They did nothing about it. And then he knew I reported him, so he went around to every black person in our department for some reason and was like, you know I'm not racist, right? We're friends, right? And so he pulled the whitest white thing that every racist does, and it was just a horrible situation because then it made me feel uncomfortable because he knew I reported him, and it did not do anything. So at that time, I worked for a really shitty company, apparently, so there's a power dynamic in reporting people for bad behavior, and I don't have to do any of that. I don't have to worry about what you're doing because hopefully the universe will take care of you. And I just want to do my job. I want to do it to the best of its ability. And I don't want to know that about you. So moving on to my next point, and I mentioned it before, is dress clothes and dress shoes. I have spent more time at a job tugging and pulling on dress clothes that I never seem, I can never get them right. It's like you buy something and you try it on and it's fine, but then you wear it to work and you're like, God, this is up my ass all day, or I'm very uncomfortable. You know, I have a closet full of sweaters because, like I said, I have tattoos, and you're not allowed to have tattoos in most places. I don't have to know all that right now. If I come to work in my pajamas, if I throw a hoodie on over it, if I, you know, whatever, my job is done. It is done correctly. It is done accurately. I can still jump on a Teams meeting or a Skype meeting or a Zoom meeting or whatever the platform is that I would use, and it doesn't affect my ability to be an effective member of a team. So I just, this pandemic is exposing all the things that are just bullshit policing things that companies do that you don't realize logistically stress your employees out. So this is perfect. You can roll in here, wear whatever you're wearing. I don't have to put makeup on because that's like a societal thing. Like, I realized I don't really even care to wear makeup that often. And I was doing it because I would go out in public and I would be seen. So now that I'm not seen, I mean, it's perfect. I don't have to wear dress clothes. at this time, at least. There is no unfamiliar smells. Lainey and I discussed this at length. And it's like when people eat weird food that you personally don't like the smell of, or, you know, everyone's burnt popcorn at the office, everyone's warmed up salmon in the microwave, everyone's done the things in your office that you just wish to God they wouldn't do, right? So you avoid all that by working from home. I can go into my kitchen, make my own lunch, whatever. Like, and it can be as stinky as it wants to be, or not at all. If someone's wearing a loud perfume, and I'm talking loud, you can hear that shit. You don't have to smell it. You don't have to smell it. So, for instance, I worked with a woman who had terrible allergies, and she was like, she would miss work because she had terrible, terrible allergies, because she would ask us, beg us, you guys, please, can you not use like really smelly lotions or sprays if you sit in my row? Like, I hate to be a pest, but I have allergies. And people like did not take her seriously. They didn't give a fuck that she had allergies, and she would be sick all the time. And they made her out to be a hypochondriac. And it's like, maybe she was, but you should always treat people with sensitivities or allergies or whatever with some respect. I mean, it's not going to kill you to not wear your fucking Vanilla Bean Bath and Body Works or whatever. Chill the fuck out with your smells. There's no chance of having a coworker come into the office hacking or coughing when you work from home. With it's just a cold attitude, like that it's just a cold attitude that American work culture is so used to. We have had people, I had a lady bragging about, one time a lady was bragging about, like, she had like 17 weeks of sick time banked, but would bark like a fucking seal every day coughing. Every day. And I don't know if it was a chronic issue, but the fact of the matter is I can hear you from like several yards away. Why are you barking and hacking? And then so like when I started that job, a few months in, I got sick. I got a head cold. I got a sinus infection. I got a whatever. And she was bragging about that. And I told the woman, I said, that's really good, but can you please use sick time when you're sick? Because I'm brand new and I don't have any sick time. And so I've been sick lately and it's really, you know, been a problem. So, you know, you go into a new environment with new germs, you get sick immediately. And the bitches who brought it in the office want to hack and cough all over you. So like American work culture is so fucked up. And everyone demonizes you when you are sick. So it's like, it's just a cultural attitude that needs changed. And also, like, just stop coming to work sick. And also, the companies need to allow people to be sick. Some companies have no sick time. Some companies don't care if you're sick, you know? And so, like, that's generally a cultural thing that has got to change from the top down. Because the reason why women specifically have, and men too, but, like, we have kids to take to school. We have, you know, somebody needs to watch the kids and I'm sick and I'm going to come in anyway, or dump the kids off sick because they have no one else. It's just a whole thing. I can't take off work. That's a bullshit attitude, and it's not the individual's fault, but it is when you have 17 weeks of sick time. Take that shit off, okay? Or donate it to me, Jesus. So this is a complaint department podcast, and this is me complaining for 30 minutes straight. So another good thing about working from home that I have found is that when I am having a particularly rough anxiety day, or my stomach is hurting pretty bad in the morning, because I had gastric bypass 3 years ago, and there's days that I wake up and sometimes my stomach just feels weird. Like, I just don't feel good, and it makes me tired. And there are days like that that I have had since working from home, and I have just logged in anyway and sat at my desk because I did not have to get up, take my shower, pack my lunch, get my clothes on, go out the door, drop my kid off. Ugh. I didn't have to do any of that. And because I did not have all the logistics of going into an office and being around other people, I was able to successfully perform my job while feeling a little yucky, because I didn't have all the bullshit that would have made me call in. Like, if it's too daunting and you feel like crap, that's why people call in. They never call in when they're, well, they do, but they never hardly call in when they're actually sick. But there are people like myself and my other friends who have severe fucking anxiety who are so overwhelmed with the general logistics of getting to work sometimes that you feel crappy. You have all this shit added on top of your plate, so to speak, and then you don't go. You miss a whole day because you just need a do-over. I have not had to do that, knock on wood, because my ass has been in the house since March. I've gone to the store. That's it. I do not go to restaurants. I do not fucking meet my friends. I don't want to kill my family. So I'd rather just not. You know what I mean? So like, I've been in the house so I can get up, do my job. And if I don't feel super great, I'm near my own bathroom. You guys, there's something so priceless about that. So if you feel bad and you're at home, you're already at home. No, I don't go lay down. I mean, I can sit at my desk perfectly fine and I can just take a moment and step away if I need to, but I'm still available to my employer at all times. One thing which goes into that is like, as far as the smell thing goes, maybe. So I can work out near my desk between my tasks or like on a 15-minute break without smelling up the joint or distracting a coworker. So imagine if you had 5 minutes and you're in your office and you're in a row of cubicles with every person and the lights are blaring and you drop down and do some push-ups or you grab your dumbbells and you're lifting weights, you know, or you're walking in place for a second. Now your eyes are on your computer and you're waiting for the next answer to whatever you're doing or, you know, logistics, you're just waiting. I can effectively do a small like bit of activity while standing at my desk because no one's around if I get sweaty. No one's around if I look stupid or if I'm making noise by doing a jumping jack. I know that sounds nuts, but since the pandemic started, I have not been to the, I went to the gym like twice when our numbers locally got really, really low, but it just gave me more anxiety to be around people. So I stopped going and I hope to join again next year if there's a vaccine. But in the meantime, I'm cramming in workouts at home. And sometimes you can just stand at your desk or walk in place or do whatever. Whereas in an office, you cannot do that. You look nuts. You're distracting. You're distracting. And like the logistics of running to the gym on your lunch break and coming home or coming back to your office when you're in a full office, you stink. Girl, you stink. So like, you stink. Don't do that. So if your pits are ripe, I don't need you sitting next to me. You know what I'm saying? Working from home prevents that. I can control the temperature of my home and the noise level. So again, maybe it goes back to chatting, but if you've got a barking cougher or you've got somebody yammering about shit you don't care about in an office, you cannot do shit about it. At home, I control the volume. If you're freezing at your desk, but you're not allowed to have heaters because they trip the breakers, but you look crazy with the blanket on and your little dress shoes aren't enough to really keep your feet warm, that's distracting. That's extremely distracting when you're freezing or sweating at your desk. So at home, I can control the temp, which goes right in. All this is hand in hand. You can dress as warm as you need because it's, you know, I've had jobs that it's freezing cold in there, but they have rules about what type of jacket you can wear while on the floor at your job. Now, again, these are all back office jobs, guys. I'm not working retail where I'm seeing people or whatever. I'm talking specifically never see a customer, client, patient, whatever job it may be. Never. Not seeing them. Back office. And I've had rules where you need to cover the tattoo on your finger. You need to wear a Band-Aid or a ring over it every day. And I'm like, who sees me? Who sees me? Or you can't have a heater, which I understand because it's a fire hazard and it trips breakers. But I'm bundled up in a blanket, but the jacket that I wear has to be a certain type. Like, what is wrong with you? I hope people realize how nuts that sounds. Now that we've been home for so long, I truly hope that offices get on board with like, this is unnecessary bullshit. And I don't want people to comply to that anymore. It's a narrative we don't need to comply with. So Lainey added to this, like the smell thing, she said, you know, going back to temperature, noise level, and you know, whatever, the mask thing is a good thing because we can prevent being sick and spreading illness, but also not having anyone's skunk breath enter your personal space. Let me throw that in there because that people get too close. As a culture, we're too close. I don't know you. I don't need you that close to me. I don't want you to smell my breath. I don't need to smell yours. Like, let's keep that back. So the other thing is at this time, a lot of us have our kids home. schools have shut down or we have chosen to do a virtual learning situation. And I am available to my son who works in the next room, essentially. He's my only coworker. So although I'm not distracted and I'm not doing my job, should he have a question or we need to review something, I do have 5 to 10 minutes here and there to spare for my high schooler who is in the next room. Again, I know that doesn't work for all little kids. Younger kids, multiple kids. I know my situation is very privileged. I get that. But like the point is I am available to him. And so whereas if I was at an office, it would be a hot ass mess. So that's another thing. The next thing would be something that Lainey added, which is proximity to outdoors. She said that working from home, you can go outside for some fresh air, take a walk down your street on your break, have a cup of coffee on the porch in the morning. It's good for mental health to be able to do that. And again, if you have a designated area that is not your normal living space like I do have an office at home, which I quickly scrambled together in March, but she's right. You know, if you can go outside for a second, go grab your mail, take a second on your break, it is helpful. A lot of times we don't, again, cannot choose where we work. So if you're in an industrial park and you get to walk around the scary ass, loud ass building you work in, or if you are in a neighborhood that doesn't have sidewalks, or if you are next to a highway that has nowhere for you to walk besides laps around the hot ass parking lot, it's just not conducive to really enjoying the outdoors for a moment. The next point I feel like is pets. So I know a lot of people say that pets are getting too attached to us if we're home. They're under some kind of duress if we are home. Again, that's true. I mean, factually true, especially about our cats, for instance. One of our cats is super stressed that we're home, who's been exhibiting signs, and she's had some health problems on top of that. But I have a 9-year-old dog that is my entire life. She's my very best friend. And I used to see, the way my anxiety manifests is to stress out in the middle of the night about shit I could never change. So I used to cry over the fact that I was gone 40 hours a week and couldn't spend more time with my dog. Yes, that's true. But now that she's older, she has a designated little chair in my office. I can let her out to use the restroom more frequently. River is home, my son, so he can take and do that. He can take her outside to use the restroom. She's not, you know, stuck getting let out at weird intervals or using a little pee pad, or she doesn't have as many accidents in the house. I mean, she's a little dog, but that's gross. Animals using the bathroom in here is just, this ain't a toilet. You know what I'm saying? So letting your dogs out to go to the bathroom more frequently can kind of go in with the taking a break for a second. Like I walk her on my lunch when it's nice outside. Oh my God, this is like a brag podcast about how good I have it at home. Like here's the thing. Again, I feel bad even saying this now that I think about it. What a psychotic episode. But you guys, I'm bored and I'm lonely. So this is what you're getting. You know, buckle up, all right? Anyway, I can start laundry, dishes, vacuum, whatever on my lunch break or right before work or right after work, and I have no commute. I don't have to drive anywhere. I don't have to book home and it's an hour later or whatever. I mean, I've worked pretty far from my house before because I live in the Midwest and the job opportunities are not always in the small towns. There used to be a time where I would have to get up and leave my house at 5 a.m. I would drive to one town, drop my son off at daycare, and I would drive all the way to another town to be at work by 7:30. I was in the car for hours every morning because of a situation that I was in, living in one city, town, village, you know, and then driving to another, to the daycare he was comfortable with because he was little and I had gone through a divorce and I didn't want to disrupt his routine. So I drove my ass 30 minutes one way and about 45 minutes away from that city to my job. So I had to really logistically like haul ass every morning. And although I don't have that issue now, I typically work in the city that I live in now, the commutes and things that people have to drive through, you know, and deal with suck. So when you're trying to do your household chores, you leave them for the weekend, and that's not much of a weekend to be doing everything on the weekend. Like my dishes can get going in the morning, and like at lunch I can have River unload the dishwasher. I can do it. I can do it right after work, and it's still only 5:05 by the time I'm done. Like this cutting out the commute stuff allows you to get stuff done during the week that you just simply wouldn't feel like doing. Although being isolated from others has been really depressing in some ways, the mental break that it has allowed me and the time it has freed up for me has been immeasurably beneficial to my quality of life. So like the above mentioned stuff says so many ways in which my mental health has improved, right? Because I haven't had to deal with a lot of the logistics of life. The rat race of getting to and from work, dragging your kids, getting them out to the bus stop. I understand that that's really hard for people. And some people thrive. Some people thrive. Some people love an office. Like, I get it. I totally get it. But here's my bitch sesh. And this is my podcast. So here we are. So I want to tell you a little bit about like what my day looked like and why I had so many anxiety days during the year and why I felt like I was on a roller coaster all the time, or like a merry-go-round that was going too fast. I could never get off. I could never just take a break. And why I was up too late because my mind wouldn't shut off. And then I was not rested the next day. You know, I have a new set of worries during this pandemic because it's a hot ass mess here in the US, but at least it's not these things. So I made a little list. Okay, this was when I was driving to an office, previous, different office, not this one, obviously. This is kind of a generalization of what my day looked like. Get up, I'd make breakfast for River and myself. I'd take him to school in my pajamas usually because he went to a school, you know, not too far from where we live, but he started at like 7:15 or 7:30 in the morning. So I would come home, get ready for work. I would pack a lunch, pack my gym bag, pack my this bracelet that went with my workouts. It needed, made sure it was charged the night before, you know. I'd pack my gym bag, gather up my stuff, I'd head to work, I'd get off at 5, I'd get off work and drive straight to the gym, I'd get out of the gym at 6:30, I'd drive home, so I would get home like 6:45 maybe, my kids been waiting from like 3 to 6:45, I'd cook dinner, clean up, I'd be done by about 7:30, we'd get our showers, I'd enjoy about 30 minutes of sitting around. I never read anymore, I used to love reading, but like my brain was fried. Typically my stomach hurt after eating if I worked out that night. The workouts I was doing did not really allow for me not to have a stomach ache if I ate anything after it because it was very strenuous. I would just be so mentally and physically exhausted. I didn't have much energy to interact with my family. Again, the chores would be put off for a few days and I'd spend my whole weekend like doing the crap that I should have done during the week, but I even bought more dress clothes so I didn't have to do laundry as often because I was washing gym clothes and my dress clothes and all my shit all the time, that it was just so much work. So in turn, I spent more money than I should have buying more stuff that I didn't need because I was exhausted. So everybody, you know, has different reasons why they think working from home is like tough. And I know some people would be really glad if they could work a couple days in an office just to get that interaction, because I know some people live alone. I know some people have small kids and they need that adult interaction, that maybe they're raising them on their own. Maybe, you know, everybody has different reasons and they're valid. All your reasons are valid. I get it. But between the gas money and the meal planning and the anxiety over driving, because that's another one of my things, is I get extremely anxious about driving. Used to love it. Used to drive everywhere. When I was a teenager, my God, the stuff we did, I had no fear. Like none. I would ride with anybody. I would drive with anybody, but driving is one of my anxieties now and I'll do it, but I don't want to be in a car. I don't want to be in a car. So those are the things that just a quick list, I guess. Quick. It's been 30 minutes. What am I talking about? That's my list. Those are the reasons why I think we should work from home. Oh, you know what else? You know what else? From a corporate standpoint, the money saved on overhead alone, and also the employee retention of people like me who will straight up find a better job if the environment sucks, which that's a privileged thing too. It doesn't always work out, right? I've been stuck in some shitty jobs where I went in every day in tears, hated it. I would cry every single day. I hated everybody there. It was a nightmare, but I had no choice. I had to put food on the table. I had to carry insurance for my child. These are the things people have to do. There is no choice. It's a real privileged thing to be able to switch jobs. But at this point, companies are saving money by not having us in there. They're also saving us from getting sick. If everyone gets this virus in your office and they're out for 2 weeks, or they're out over here, or they're really, really sick, because you don't know what type you're going to get. You do not know what the symptoms and side effects are going to be that you get. You may have none. You may have heart problems. You may have issues with your legs. You may get glaucoma. You may have long COVID symptoms. You don't know. So the company loses money if there's no one to run the department. So keep me at home. I am so cool with being at home. Everybody's been super cool. The people I work for now are cool. We have a job to do. We have responsibilities in this world. But geez Louise, don't make me go back to an office, because I don't thrive in an office. And I know that I cannot be the only one. So anyway, that's my take this week. Sorry that it's been so long. Sorry that I just rambled. But again, I have no one to talk to. I still, of course, I have a good support system, but like, it's just sometimes it's one of those days where you just want to get your thoughts out there. And I've been thinking a lot about it and how our culture is, you know, they need to catch on to some of these bigger companies, you know, like Google or Amazon, that are moving to a more work from home type thing. My aunt Laura worked for, I believe it was like ADP or one of the payroll type places. And she told me this 20 years ago or more. She's like, oh, we don't pay for overhead. I've worked from home for quite some time. She's like, there is no sense in having us in an office. We can perform every function of our job from home. And then you just have to have the mental, I don't know, capacity to interact from home. You can have strong relationships with your coworkers and build a great team, but you're just not in the same place. So I remember thinking, wow, that's like so forward thinking. And she was pretty high up in her company and was like, I'm not going to, you know, have, we're not going to pay for this space. That's insane. Overhead in a building, or renting a building, or even owning a building. No, we don't do all that. So from a corporate standpoint, I hope that more corporations who have the functionality to send a lot of their people home, like if you really, truly don't need to be in person, there's no reason to send people back, especially when there's an airborne illness going around that could wipe out your entire department. Like, why would you put them back in offices if you don't have to? It just doesn't seem to make any fiscal sense to me. I'm just excited to spin this in a positive for me personally. You know, sometimes there's not much to look forward to, but there are, just find the positives in this life. I know that we can all get down, and I don't discredit anybody. This is not something that, you know, it's like when people are like, I'm anxious. They're like, well, think positively. It's like, yeah, I didn't think of that. Thanks. Like, I'm not one of those people, but I do want to put a good word out there for you guys. Like, do your best, man. We're all just trying to survive. If you're not fucking baking or losing 15 pounds or like just doing all these incredible things from home and you're just surviving, you're just getting up and doing the bare minimum, good for you, because you got up. And if you don't get up and you need a day, take a day. So, two things I'd like to recommend just to the general public. Actually three. And these are all three things that go together. Get off Facebook. Get off of Facebook. It's a cesspool. It's a cesspool. I hate everything about it. I used to love Facebook, man. I use it as my damn journal. But get off Facebook. Get a journal. They're very cheap. Get a blank notebook from Target, Walmart, wherever you shop. And if you can, if it's within your means, get yourself a therapist. Get yourself a therapist. Your partner's not your therapist. Your friends are not your therapist. Get yourself a therapist. There are sliding scale therapists. I don't care if you don't want to start. Because if you have the means right now, Facebook is not your therapist either. And there's no sense in all of us making ourselves look dumber. We've got all the, what do you call it? All the technology, all the intelligence, all the smartest scientists in the world. And no one believes them right now. And no one is trusting professionals anymore. So if you have really dumb ideas and you say, I don't think they're that dumb, or if I'm going to say something crazy, say it in your journal, say it to your therapist, and just don't log into Facebook anymore. So that's my advice. I hope you guys tune in the very next time I do this, which could be, who knows. I'm going to put some information in the description of who did our new music. That is Josh Pancake. I'm going to put his Gmail address in the description, as well as our socials. So thank you so much for listening. This was a ramble. So I'll see you guys next time. Bye.